So today's reading is taken from Genesis 15, and we're reading today from the International Children's Bible, and you'll be able to see it on the screen behind me. After these things had happened, the Lord spoke his words to Abram in a vision. God said, "Abram, don't be afraid. I will defend you, and I will give you a great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what can you give me? I have no son. So my servant Eliezer from Damascus will get everything I own after I die." Abram said, "Look, you have given me no son, so a servant born in my house will inherit everything I have." Then the Lord spoke his word to Abram. He said, "That servant will not be the one to inherit what you have. You will have a son of your own, and your son will inherit what you have." Then God led Abraham outside. God said, "Look at the sky. There are so many stars you cannot count them, and your descendants will be too many to count." Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord accepted Abram's faith, and that faith made him right with God. God said to Abram, "I am the Lord who led you out of Ur of Babylonia. I did that so I could give you this land to own." But Abram said, "Lord God, how can I be sure that I will own this land?" The Lord said to Abram, "Bring me a 3-year-old cow, a 3-year-old goat, and a 3-year-old male sheep. Also, bring me a dove and a young pigeon." Abram brought them all to God. Then Abram killed the animals and cut each of them into 2 pieces. He laid each half opposite the other half, but he did not cut the birds in half. Later, large birds flew down to eat the animals, but Abram chased them away. As the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep. While he was asleep, a very terrible darkness came. Then the Lord said to Abram, "You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers and travel in a land they don't own. The people there will make them slaves, and they will do cruel things to them for 400 years. But I will punish the nation where they are slaves. Then your descendants will leave that land, taking great wealth with them. Abram, you will live to be very old. You will die in peace and will be buried. After your great-great-grandchildren are born, your people will come to this land again. It will take that long because the Amorites are not yet evil enough to punish." The sun went down and it was very dark. Suddenly, a smoking firepot and a blazing torch passed between the two halves of the dead animals. So on that day, the Lord made an agreement with Abram. The Lord said, "I will give this land to your descendants. I will give them the land between the river Egypt and the great river Euphrates. This is the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Musicians, thank you very much for leading us then. That's brilliant. And we're going to think now about the Bible passage that we had read a few moments ago. Yesterday, as we know, King Charles made promises to God to be a good king. Now, God, as we've already thought, is the King of Kings. And you know that God makes a promise to us. And God calls us to trust his promise. And we're going to look at Abraham now, or Abram, as he was known early on. And Abram trusted God's promise. And if you look at the screen, we're going to see this truth now we're going to see that faith in God's promise makes us right with him. That's what we're about to see. So let's have a look at the beginning of that Bible passage together. If you're a reader, you could follow the words up on the screen. It says, after these things happened, meaning last week's passage, the Lord spake his word to Abraham in a vision, like a special dream. God said, Abraham, don't be afraid. I will defend you, and I will give you a great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what can you give me? I have no son. So my servant Eliezer from Damascus will get everything I own after I die. So you can see Abraham's problem. Abraham says to God, God, you promised that my family would become enormous, that you'd make my family a great nation, but we don't even have one baby. Well, verse 4, then the Lord spoke his word to Abraham. He said, that servant won't be the one to inherit what you have. You will have a son of your own, and your son will inherit what you have. Now, I can ask you a question. Think for a moment about King Charles, who we saw yesterday. Who will be King Charles after, who will be king after King Charles? Does anyone know the answer to that? Just put a hand up. Go on, Gloria knows. Go on. Who is it? William, that's right. William will be king after King Charles. Now, this is a harder question, maybe one for the children. Does anyone know who will be king after William? Does anyone know the answer to that? Go on, Shudder. William's son, that's right. Do you know his name? Does anyone know his name? Go on, Sam. Louis's big brother. Louis's big brother. Okay, and it's George, isn't it? It's George will be king. That's right. Well done. Now, Abraham didn't have any of that. Abraham didn't have a son who would come after him. But God had promised that Abraham's family would become enormous. Well, God does something now to help Abraham. And he says to Abraham, look, come with me. I want to take you outside and I want to show you something. Verse 5, then God led Abraham outside and God said, look up at the sky. And so Abraham looked up. Now, what did he see? Can you remember? What did Abraham see? Go on, Mari. He saw stars, didn't he? Look at this. That's what Abraham saw when he went outside. He looks up and he saw stars. Stars are very beautiful. Now, in a city like ours, it can be difficult to see the stars at night because there are lots of street lights and it makes it difficult. But when you're out in the countryside, like Abraham was, there are no street lights and the night sky is just beautiful. You can imagine that the inky black sky, just awash with pinpricks of light. It's beautiful. And as Abraham is gazing up into the sky, God speaks to him. And he says, there are so many stars that you cannot count them, and your descendants, your family, will be too many to count. God's saying to Abraham, I'll do it. I know you don't have a baby yet, but I promise your family will be huge. I'll give you as many people as there are stars in the sky. Now, a question for you if you're a younger child. So younger children, maybe if you've started school but you're quite young, what number is that? What number is that? God, James, do you know? Does anyone know what number is that? 300, it is. Well done, 300. That's quite a big number, isn't it? Imagine having 300 of something. That's quite a lot. How about this number? Maybe if you're a slightly older child. Does anyone know what that number is? Go on, Daniel. It is 3 million. Well done. That's 3 million. Imagine having 3 million of something. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? But look at this. Shall I show you the number of stars that there are in the universe? Are you ready? That's the number of stars in the universe. It's a very, very big number. An American university worked it out. It's 3 million, 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 million. Isn't that an enormous number? That's the number of stars that there are in the whole universe. And God says to Abraham, I will give you as many people as there are stars in the sky. And he doesn't mean the exact number, but it's picture language for I'm going to make it a huge number, a huge number. And do you know that that promise comes true in Jesus? Jesus came from Abraham's family. Jesus is the Savior of the whole world. And anyone who trusts in Jesus becomes part of Abraham's family. And in the New Testament, Paul writes about Jesus. And then he says this up on the screen. This is in the New Testament part of the Bible. Paul says, understand then that those who have faith, meaning faith in Jesus, are children of Abraham. God is saying to Abraham, Abraham, I will give you as many people as there are stars in the sky. And Abraham looks up at the stars in the sky. And you know what Abraham does as he looks up? He trusts God's word. Let's go back to our passage in Genesis. It says, Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord accepted Abraham's faith, and that faith made him right with God. Now, isn't that interesting? Just think about that for a moment. God makes a promise. Abraham trusts that promise. And Abraham's faith makes him right with God. Abraham's faith makes him friends with God. Just like it says at the top of the screen there, just have a look. Faith in God's promise makes us right with him. Now, that's really important. Lots of people get that the wrong way round. Lots of people think, how can I get right with God? I want to get right with God. I want to be in his kingdom when I die. How can I get right with God? And lots of people get it the wrong way around. They say, I know, I'll try really hard. So here's a picture of somebody trying really hard to sweat and to do the right thing and to live God's way, okay? And people think, yes, hopefully, if I live that way, God will like me and he'll let me into his kingdom and he'll make me right with him. So maybe people do this. Maybe they think, I know, if I go to church lots and I pray lots, then God will like me and that'll make me right with him. Or maybe they think, if I give money away, if I give money to charity or to poor people or to the church, maybe God will like me and I'll get right with him. Or maybe they think, maybe if I'm just really nice, if I'm nice to people and I'm friendly and I help people, maybe that'll make me right with God. Or sometimes people think, if I go to church lots and I take communion lots, here's the cup and the plate we use for communion, maybe that's how I can get right with God and God will like me. Or maybe think about what we saw yesterday on the TV. Think about maybe King Charles. Maybe he thinks being king will make him right with God. People think it all the time. They get it the wrong way around. And they think that if you try really hard, look at this up on the screen. People think if you try really hard, it'll make you right with God. But you know, that's wrong. That's actually not right. Let's have a look at our Bible passage again. See what it says about Abraham. Look at this. Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord accepted Abraham's faith, and that faith made him right with God. Now, that's really important that we know that and that we understand that. How do we get right with God? We don't have to do anything. We just have to trust his promise about Jesus. Jesus is the Savior of the whole world. And if we trust in him, that's how we get right with God. Faith in God's promise makes us right with him. Now, of course, if it's real faith, of course, that we'll then want to live in a way that pleases God. Faith in God's promise will lead us to work really hard to serve God and to serve other people. But we need to make sure we get it the right way round in our minds. So before we sing, let me ask you a question. Are you trusting God's promise? Are you trusting God's promise? Are you trusting in Jesus to make you right with God? He's the Savior of the whole world. He's the only way that we can be right with God. don't trust in trying hard, but trust in Jesus. Faith in God's promise makes us right with him. And, you know, we have to keep on remembering it. When you become a grown-up, lots of grown-ups who are Christians get really tired and stressed at times because we begin to forget this. Keep on trusting in Jesus. He's the way that you get right with God. My helpers are just going to put up two tables for me, which we're going to need in just a minute. So we're looking at the book of Genesis at the moment over these few weeks this summer. We've been looking at Abraham over the past couple of Sundays. And I know, children, you've been out in your groups, but Abraham's a very important person in the Bible, and he's famous for trusting God's promise. And we've just seen, thank you very much, Mass. Thanks, Becky. We've just seen that faith in God's promise makes us right with him. Thank you. You can come back in a minute. Thank you. We've just seen that faith in God's promise makes us right with him. And our Bible passage now takes us to the next day, it seems. And God now says something amazing to Abraham. He says this, if you look at the screen. God says, well, it's not coming up, Mark. Can you make it? My click is not clicking. There we go. God says something amazing now. He says, on my life, I will keep my promise. And we're looking at the next few verses, 7 to 21. Let me read verse 7. God said to Abraham, I am the Lord who led you out of Ur of Babylonia. I did that so that I could give you this land to own. And God is speaking there of the promised land, which later became known as Israel. And God promises to give us our promised land, which is the kingdom of heaven. And verse 8, but Abraham said, Lord God, how can I be sure that I will own this land? Abraham believes God, but like all of us, he struggles with believing at times. And Abraham says, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. And we feel the same way at times, don't we? We believe God's promise to give us the kingdom of heaven, but at times we say, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And God is very kind to Abraham now, and he helps Abraham believe. And he says to Abraham, Abraham, bring me some stuff, and I'm going to help you. Let's have a look what he says. Verse 9, the Lord said to Abraham, bring me a 3-year-old cow, a 3-year-old goat, and a 3-year-old male sheep. Also bring me a dove and a young pigeon. Okay, so that's pretty weird, isn't it, that God would ask for that? How's that going to help? Well, can I have my two helpers come up? Matt and Becky are going to help me. The next verse says, Abraham brought them all to God, the cow, the goat, and the sheep, and the birds. Then Abraham killed the animals and cut each of them into two pieces. He laid each half opposite the other half, but he didn't cut the birds in half. Now, we ready? So here's the cow. That's what the cow would have thought. There we go, some blue sack just there on the thing for you. Maybe Abraham gets a huge big axe or something. That's the cow. Then he gets the goat. And he chops the goat in half. There we go. And then God has told him to lay them over into two piles. So he does that. And here's the ram. And he cuts the ram in half as well. There we go. And we stick those up there. Thank you. And then he doesn't cut the birds in half, but he gets the birds as well. And we put those on each side as well. Thank you very much. And I'm just going to put a big black X across their eyes so that we know that they're dead. Thank you very much to my helpers. You can go and sit down. So there we go. Now, we'll find out in a moment what that all means, because it's pretty confusing when you first read it, isn't it? But first of all, God speaks to Abraham. There we go. Brilliant. Thank you, Mark. I'll take over. Verse 12. As the sun was going down, Abraham fell into a deep sleep. And while he was asleep, a very terrible darkness came. God is about to show Abraham something very important. He's about to show Abraham the future. And as I read what God says now, I've got a question for you to think about. I want you to ask yourself, what famous Bible story is God talking about? Listen to this, verse 13. Then the Lord said to Abraham, "You can be sure that your descendants, your family, will be strangers and travel in a land that they don't own. The people there will make them slaves, and they will do cruel things to them for 400 years. But I will punish the nation where they're slaves, and then your descendants, your family, will leave that land, taking great wealth with them." So God is showing his friend Abraham the future. He's showing him 400 years into the future. God is very powerful. He can do that. And children, do you know the answer? What famous Bible story is God talking about when he shows Abraham 400 years into the future? Do you know? Does anyone know? Go on, Zoe. You haven't asked the question. You haven't answered. Moses, you told me. Yes, Moses. That's right. When Moses rescues God's people out of Egypt, and usually we call it the Exodus. We call it the Exodus. So here we go. I'll show you some pictures. There are God's people, and they're slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And then God punishes the Egyptians. He sends horrible locusts and lots of other horrible plagues. You might remember this is a famous Bible story. And eventually, Pharaoh says, "Go, get out." And God rescues his people, and he brings them out of slavery in Egypt. And God says to Abraham, "Abraham, you will die in peace at a very old age." And then verse 16, he says, "After your great-great-grandchildren are born, your people will come to this land again. And it'll take that long because the Amorites are not yet evil enough to punish." So God will bring his people to the promised land. He will give the promised land to Abraham's family. He will keep his promise. And in fact, as we're about to see, look at the top of the screen again. God says, "On my life, I will keep my promise." And now we come back to the weird halves of the animals, and we have to understand that this is what it means. Verse 17, "The sun went down and it was very dark, and suddenly a smoking fire pot and a blazing torch passed between the halves of the animals. So on that day, the Lord made an agreement with Abraham, and the Lord said, 'I will give this land to your descendants.'" So here's a smoking fire pot and the blazing torch, okay? And the smoke and the fire stand for God. And God deliberately walks through the halves of the animals like that as Abraham watches. And then God says, "I'm making an agreement with you, Abraham. I will give this land to your descendants." And you know what it means? God is saying, "If I don't keep my promise, then make me like these animals. May I become like chopped up animals if I don't keep my promise." God is promising on his life to keep the promise to Abraham. He's saying, "I will give you this land." He's swearing on his life. "If I fail to keep my promise, may I end up like these chopped up dead animals. On my life, I will keep my promise." Isn't that amazing? God knows the future. He knows 400 years into the future. He has an amazing plan. He will save his people in the Exodus. He will give them the promised land. And then to be very kind to Abraham, to help him believe, he gives this amazing sign of the chopped up dead animals, and he walks between the pieces and he says, "If I fail to keep my promise, make me like the dead animals." on my life, I promise to do what I've said. And you know, that helped Abraham keep believing for the rest of his life. And it's not just a sign for Abraham, it's a sign for us as well, for Christians. God says to us, on my life, I will bring you to the kingdom of heaven. On my life, I will keep my promise. Just think about Jesus for a moment, dying on the cross. At the cross, we see that God's promise actually did cost him his life in the person of his son, Jesus. But God didn't give up. God didn't shrink back. God kept his promise, and Jesus paid for our sins on the cross. And now because of that, we really can go to the kingdom of heaven because Jesus has paid for our sins. So we need to trust God's promise. Because we all struggle to believe God's promise sometimes. We all feel like Abraham at times. Children, maybe you go to school sometimes and you see other people, other children there, and they're not Christians. And you think to yourself, well, hang on, how do I know that Christians have got it right? Well, maybe you're here and you're a grown-up and you're worried because you've got money troubles. And you think, well, how can I keep trusting that God's going to take care of me? How can I trust him to get me all the way to the kingdom of heaven? Or maybe you just think, well, I believe, but how am I going to keep on believing for my whole life? Well, we need to remember what God says here. He says, like it says at the top of the screen, on my life, I will keep my promise. If you trust in Jesus, he says, I will bring you to the kingdom of heaven. On my life, I promise it. Think about the cross. He did give his life to keep his promise. Of course he'll bring us safely to the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful news. Let's encourage each other to keep trusting him this week. Let me say a prayer. Lord God, we praise you that you are wonderful, that you make promises, and that you keep promises. Thank you that trusting your promise makes us right with you. And thank you that you say to us, on my life, I will keep my promise. We praise you for that. Amen.